Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Becky Brown sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Mylon Yurkovich in California. Hello, guys.
Hey. Hi, Becky. It's good to see you, hear you, and Alice, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Likewise.
Well, I have some really good news today.
Oh.
We have started a new television show that's going to be on National Religious Broadcasters, otherwise known as NRB. If you have DirecTV, you can find it there, but it's also available on Hoku, whatever those are, all the different things. Just look for your cable provider or how you stream it. But anyway,
as
it's
in called, Roku?
Yes, that might be it.
Okay,
yeah.
Or Hulu?
Yeah, that's both of those. See, I put it together.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
See, you shouldn't give me the keys to the car. but let me tell you, it's called Life Recovery Today. I'm so excited that Steve's going to host this 30-minute program, and it's all about recovery. You're going to have some teaching about recovery, but you're also going to hear some incredible stories, testimonies from people who the before and the after of recovery. And I know it's going to be encouraging to you, and it's going to reach so many people. You know, one of the things that you hear us talk about all the time are life recovery groups or life recovery, because we know that there is a process that will bring freedom to your life, whether it's addiction, whether it's something because you're in relationship with somebody who's got addiction, or maybe it's just those really stubborn beliefs and kind of habits that you have in your life that just you can't break free of. So we want to encourage you to tune in today, and it's going to air on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern time on NRB. And you can always call us if you can't find out how to connect, but you can visit liferecoverytoday.net, and you will also learn more there. So we're so excited to offer that as an opportunity for people to continue to learn.
Can I add something to that?
I would love for you to do
that. A lot of times people think that recovery, and it is, very focused on addictions of mm-hmm. various sorts, and that's true. But one of the things that is, I think, an under-discussed addiction are what I would call obsessive thoughts and compulsive thoughts. And the types of ways that we find ourselves being pulled into ways of thinking in our own mind over and over and over and over again with behaviors tied to that, well, we need to recover from that too. We need to recover into a place where we have straighter thinking, where we're more mindful, where we're in charge of what we think about. And that's just super important. God talks about it mm-hmm. extensively in Philippians. Whatever is right and pure and honorable and lovely, let your mind dwell on these things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And these things you have practiced. And so there's this, you know, what happens inside our heads is super important to learn to take control of.
And that, yes. that fits for anxiety, depression, family conflict. The mm-hmm. way that we think about it so deeply affects how we feel and how
right.
we behave. Mm-hmm. And we don't seem to know that we can rein those thoughts in because it's so difficult to do, but it mm-hmm. is doable with these processes that we're talking about. And mm-hmm. like Becky, what you were saying, ongoing group, so that we can confess the thoughts, get the support, get the help from other people and from God, it makes the biggest difference.
Boy,
in
it does.
You know, one of the greatest things that I've discovered working the steps is that it is this ongoing sanctification process. I think Dave Stoop refers to it that way. And in our Life Recovery Bible, there are devotionals, there are, you know, excerpts on all of the steps. And, you know, it's not anti-Christian. It was based from a group of believers that wanted to find freedom. And so we're just We're excited about the opportunity for more people to learn about Life Recovery today and hope that you will tune in. We're glad that you tuned in to listen to us today, and we're going to be answering your calls. We've got some great calls lined up, and we're just appreciative of your being with us today. So come back after the break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You are with Becky Brown, Dr. Alice Benton, and Mylon Yurkovich answering your calls. And we are going to talk to Rain, who's calling us from St. Louis, Missouri, listens on Sirius XM. Rain, thanks for calling, and how can we help you today?
Hi. I'm calling about my 26-year-old daughter who is getting ready to have bariatric surgery. The one that she's having is gastric bypass.
Okay.
And she has been wanting my support ever since she's told me, and I've been a mess ever since she's told me on June 18th. Mm. And I just can't not support this decision. Both of us have had similar health issues and weight issues ever since we were little. Unfortunately, a lot of them are hereditary that we can't control. And I have even told her many times I would go through something with her to help her, whatever it is. I would even help pay for it, you know, like a weight program, like a doctor's weight loss program or something. And she said that, you know, she has tried all this. The doctor she's working with has, you know, given her a lot of different options, and she's gone through it all, that she just can't, you know, do it right now, you know, with everything. And so they suggested this. I'm worried. I even had a dream two nights ago that she died after the surgery. Hmm. That's how much it's bothering me. Hmm. And it's been very hard to support her with this decision, but I know she's going to need my support after the surgery because she has a one-year-old and she's not going to be able to take care of her, you know, by lifting her or anything else.
Okay. So Rain, what would your question be?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I hear all of the stress, and it is stressful. What would you want us to help you with?
I've talked to someone else who had it done, had major, major complications, and she told me the same thing, that her mother was basically not being able to support her with her decision either. But she told me that my daughter really needs my support, especially afterwards. And so I want to know, how in the world can I support her before, during, and after surgery?
Good question. Good question.
Rain, how are you handling your very understandable fear, anxiety, the nightmare you're having? What are you doing with those distressing emotions?
It's been impossible because I babysit her daughter, and when I'm holding her daughter, I think of things. I think of things, what if? What if my daughter doesn't make it? And you know, she's got a wonderful husband, great support right there. But when I see my daughter and her daughter together, it's unbelievable the connection they have, and she's a wonderful mother.
And Rain, you can't rein in your fearful thoughts, can you? Does it feel like they've taken over and you just can't even stop them?
Exactly. Yes. Every time I talk to her, I just break down crying.
Okay. So I'm going to ask another question, Rain. Rain, have you had a sudden tragic loss in your life that might be being triggered right now by your fear for your daughter?
It wasn't sudden. I'm sorry. My mother, my mother passed away 2 years ago. And my mother even told me, whatever you do, don't ever get that weight loss surgery.
Oh, wow.
And my mother's spirit, which I believe in, has come back over the last 3 weeks, like just so intense that I felt someone touch my arm when I was holding her daughter the other day.
And does it seem like that's a sign or a message to not go forward with this? Does that add to your fear?
To me, I hope that she's more of a protector spirit right now, like a guardian angel. I pray.
Okay. So I'm going to give you
many.
Okay, I'm going to give you some things that I think will be helpful then, because your fear is very understandable, and I actually think one of the best ways you can support your daughter is by getting comfort for the fear that you feel, and certainly not keeping it to yourself. So exactly like calling us to get support and help, I think is something that you will need through the process of your daughter's surgery, so that you can manage your fear and get comfort for it, because it is running wild and running loose in your head, and it's disturbing you in all areas, and it's getting in the way of being present for your daughter. But you might also find out specifically how does she want your support, and ask her to give you very concrete requests for how you could be supportive. But then, Rain, you also get to decide whether or not you can do the things that your daughter is asking of you. You may be able to support by caring for her daughter, but perhaps you can't be right there in the hospital during the surgery. Maybe that's too much for you. So I want you to also evaluate what you're able to freely provide for her, because it's good and loving to be able to say, this I can do, this other part, I can't do that. Let's look for somebody else to do that for you.
Mylan, do you have anything that you want to add?
Rain, thank you for calling in. And I appreciate the dilemma you feel that you're in. But I hear a lot of catastrophe in your comments. And I know, and I'm going to say this politely, but I know that you struggle with anxiety for a long time. And your anxiety is just peaked right now. But how long have you been struggling with anxiety? You sound like a very anxious individual.
Sometimes I don't think that it's anxiety, but more worry. I am constantly thinking about and praying for my own children and my grandchildren.
But see, here's the thing. This is the point. This is the point. You can't stop. And worry equals anxiety. And you're constantly what-ifing. What if, what if, what if, what if. And that is the formula of anxiety. What if? And the answer to the what ifs is always something catastrophic. There's catastrophe at the end of every worrisome thought, at the end of every anxious, panicky moment. And then what happens is we think of a catastrophe, and then that scares us so bad that then we react to the catastrophe that we imagine might happen. And that takes our anxiety and launches it into another increased level. So what's really important here is you can talk about a lot of different things. You can talk about the fact that because you have anxiety, I hear a lot of enmeshment with your daughter and your mother and your grandchild. There's a fusion or an enmeshment which doesn't allow for separation. In other words, this is still my little girl, and she has a little girl, as opposed to this is my adult daughter who has a mind, will, and emotions that's different than me. And she will have
exactly
a different...
Exactly, I know.
Well, good. I'm glad you know. And to understand that...
it's hard, because I love her so much.
I know, but you see, we can love people too much. To the point that we cling so tightly that we suffocate them. And so, you know, there's this realization that I can overconnect. So we don't want to underconnect in life, and we don't want to overconnect in life. We want to find a balance. But I really want you, because you use the word panic and worry and fear and dreams and catastrophe, this is bigger than just your daughter's bariatric surgery and her gastric bypass. I really want you to think about what are you going to do about your severe anxiety and your panic. That's what needs to be addressed.
And Rain, there is a spiritual side to anxiety. So I hope you'll consider counseling and antidepressants. There are medications that are actually terrific for anxiety, and they're very safe to take long-term. I have taken them off and on for my own anxiety. It's worked wonders. But the spiritual side of the battle, I want to give you two scripture to meditate over, in addition to taking other action with your anxiety. Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow. It is almost impossible for us to put that into practice, but we can battle the spirit of fear with the sword, which is the word of God. And that's a terrific verse to memorize and to say over and over when you go into fear. And the second one is 2 Timothy 1:7, that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a strong mind. Memorize those and use them for battle.
It is very difficult when anxiety takes over, but there is hope and there are treatment plans available. I'm going to actually send Rain a copy of Lose It for Life because, you know, she also mentioned that they share that same challenge. And one of the things that Steve talks about in that book is that it's not what you're eating, it's literally what you're feeding, what's eating you. And you hit the nail on the head, Mylon, with the anxiety, and it drives us. And so I hope that'll be encouraging. And on that same note, we're going to talk to Eddie, who's calling from Omaha, Nebraska. He's a first-time caller, and we're so glad you did. And Eddie, how can we help you today?
I'm trying to keep this as concise as possible, but
why don't you go ahead and ask the question, and then we can fill in all of the other stuff. That'll be a little bit more efficient.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to find help, and I've tried a lot of different avenues. A psychologist did a 4-hour assessment of me one time, and he said he was very worried and concerned that I need long-term inpatient treatment, but, you know, I don't have the money for that, and, you know, or my insurance won't cover it, and, you know, I'm basically isolated, and I'm trying to figure out if there's a program, maybe state or federal funded, or, you know, I've tried talking with different pastors, going to different churches, tried different outpatient things, tried different medications.
And Eddie, what are you struggling with that you need help for?
Well, I'm getting to a point of where my anxiety attacks are so bad, I can go 3-4 days without any sleep, and then I'm like shaking like a leaf because I'm too stressed, and it leaves me to a point of where I can't function, and it's pushed away all my friends and family. I haven't talked to my mom for years. I don't have any friends anymore. You know, I've been considering suicide, but you know, I've tried almost one point, but I was just too much of a chicken to go through with it. You know, I try reading the Bible and praying. It just, nothing's working.
Eddie.
And another thing that's kind of confused me, too, is, like, because I've seen so many different counselors, I've gotten different diagnoses. So I don't, you know, one guy said I was bipolar, and another guy said, well, that guy misdiagnosed you.
Hey, Eddie, I have a question for you. I have a question.
All right.
What happened to you? What I mean is, it feels like something horrible happened to you once upon a time, either a major incident or a series of other incidences that really impacted you and scared you and hurt you. What's in that history?
I had a pretty bad childhood.
Okay.
I don't want to go on and on, but I've been abused and my parents got divorced. My dad was a preacher. My mom was a teacher. Most people think, oh, that's good, but it was a very dysfunctional thing. They finally ended up getting divorced. My dad lost his job being a pastor because of that.
Eddie, this horrible childhood you're talking about, one of two things are true. Either we face our trauma and really deal with it, and trauma work is to really deal with the past, or we face our trauma, or the trauma will live through us. Because we're not living our lives. The trauma is living our life, which is what it sounds like to me. Now, we're going to come back right after this break, so hang on, and we're going to talk about that, how trauma can live through us instead of us living our lives. Becky?
I think it's a great way to consider this as a process of healing, Eddie. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are glad you're here and hoping to help somebody today. And right now we're talking to Eddie, and he's struggling with some anxiety and trauma, as Mylon identified. And Eddie, I'm going to just let Mylon go ahead and continue with his thought process that he had before we went to the break.
Eddie, you're not a lost cause here.
Right.
You're anything but a lost cause. You have a lot of potential to be somebody that is freer from this than you could have ever imagined. What I recommend that you really do is, and I know you live in a good city, I would hunt for people who specialize in trauma. Not all psychologists, not all medical doctors, not all therapists have a knowledge, a good working knowledge of trauma and the type of training that is required to help people that have histories of trauma. So I really want to encourage you that this isn't just you, Eddie, the present day Eddie, that everybody's trying to diagnose what's going on, and all the pastors, most pastors know nothing of trauma or mental health issues either. So this isn't about the current Eddie as much as it is about the historical Eddie and what was done to him. And you talked about trauma, you talked about abuse, you talked about of losses in your life. And that is where you need to spend your time. I don't know that inpatient is necessary as long as you're with someone. I've seen people make great strides with trauma therapists just going every week for 2 hours. And it's just important to try to find people who specialize in trauma. There's hope for you. And mm-hmm. I want to encourage you with that. Your story makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's important to accept that it makes sense. This isn't you. It's about your history and your parents.
Have you heard that before, Eddie?
The one thing that scares me is, I've been dealing with this for over a decade, and it just, I keep reaching out and trying to find help, and it just always seems like I just walk into one landmine or dead end, or I'm going in circles chasing my tail.
Sure.
And now why I'm calling today is because I'm getting really scared, because it's just, when I was younger, I still had anxiety, but it didn't run my life. I had hobbies, I had friends, I had family, I had a good job. But now it's like a cancer, and it's just, and it's to a point now where I don't enjoy any of my hobbies. I used to love to play music instruments. I used to have a really good job. Now I last job I lost because I couldn't handle, the 9-to-5 thing anymore, because
Eddie,
my anxiety will just.
Eddie, I'm going to step in because I wonder if, although you have sought help so many times, you may also have a start-stop pattern where you get disappointed, you don't see results, people give up on you, people aren't available, and so you don't get consistent help from the same person or the same group of people. Is that right?
Yeah, and I
So I'm going to take your answer. I'm going to take your answer and I'm going to speak into that, because isolation is enveloping you and it's keeping you so stuck. And in the darkness and the fear of that isolation, I hear the thoughts of suicide creep in, and the despair and the hopelessness sets in. And the way out of that is continuing to connect with safe people, Eddie, who have tender hearts for you and who won't abandon you, who will stick by you. But you got to stop abandoning them too. You keep stepping away, I think, from the help process. You have a couple of things against you, Eddie, many things against you probably, but mainly I'm seeing trauma, like Mylan said. I think there's a spiritual warfare also against you, the enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy us, and then your isolation. Mm-hmm. And so you may need programs like the Salvation Army, which is a program that you do live in, and you get the ongoing spiritual support of other men. You get involved in work. You get pulled out of that isolation that wants to suck you back in. And then there's groups, Eddie, that also can be low cost or even free, whether it's our New Life groups that we have. We've got a lot of resources we can offer you. Celebrate Recovery is another one. But it's you sticking with that battle and not giving up that will help you get through this valley of the shadow of death right now that you're in.
It is so hard. That is such great, valuable information. And Eddie, we'll be praying for you. We're going to send you a copy of The End of Mental Illness, because I think that will also outline a pathway to understanding what's happening. But, you know, it's very easy. Just like you said, Alice, we get further and further away from the very help we need. And we have to commit to, I'm just going to do the next thing that is going to give me some help. And to challenge some of those confusing thoughts that come and say, no, that is not true. I need to connect with somebody else.
Becky, I started to look for a group to join because I truly believe what we preach here. And I knew I needed a group for my own recovery. And I had to try out about 6 different groups.
Yes.
And they weren't working or it wasn't fitting. And you can always find things wrong with it. But
yes.
I knew I needed to keep going until I found a place that I could stay. I had to not give up. And we're going to hit so many obstacles in our search for healing that will want us to stop and keep us stuck. So we have to persevere, because we will find the right help eventually, and it will be imperfect. We can't look for perfect help.
That's the truth. And, you know, especially when we're in a state of mind that has been impacted by trauma, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel sensible. It can get disorienting. But there are folks that are trained. Like you said, Mylan, you have to look for those people who have trauma-informed therapy as part of their practice. It's very important. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I wanted to talk about, Steve has a new program called Going Deeper that you can watch on YouTube or on Facebook. It's at 5 p.m. Eastern Time every day, or you can watch the reruns on the YouTube channel. But, Steve takes some time where he just goes deeper into the different subjects that we talk about here on the program. One of my favorite episodes or a series of episodes in Going Deeper has been where he went through the workshop or the workbook of the 12 steps of grief or the recovery steps of grief. And each and every one of those episodes, it has such powerful information. We all will deal with grief at some point in our life. And so you might as well get prepared if you haven't had that already. So just check that out. And if you're already going to our YouTube, subscribe, like, review, because that will then share with the rest of the world the good help that you can get there. Let's go to a caller. Let's talk to Ruben, who is calling us from Union City, California. Ruben, how can we help you today?
Yeah, so I'm going to say first my, how you guys doing?
Doing well. Glad you called.
Good, good. Okay, thank you. So, yeah, I'm trying to make it brief. So I'm going to say my question first, and then I'll give you a little bit of background on my wife. So my question is, what else can I do to help my wife? What can I equip myself to be a more of a help to my wife? So give you a little background. So my wife, when she was like, I think 13, 14, she was diagnosed with diabetes type 1. She had a lot of problems like seizures, and in her family genes, they run like bipolar and schizophrenia and things like that. She got healed seizures. Right now, I'm 35. My wife's the same age. And then so, lately she's been having a lot of problems with, it's been already 4 or 5 years. She's having a lot of problems with, panic attack, hearing voices, and getting anger real easily. So, 5 years ago, we joined, this, Christian denomination where they told her that she was healed. And then, so she stopped taking her meds since then. Because they mentioned to her that she was healed. So it's been a real, hard, times, where, she, you know, like her voices and things like that. So I want to know, what can I do to help my wife? We've been through a little bit of counseling through Kaiser, but, now with this, pandemic, it's been a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. So,
And Ruben, when you ask your wife to consider starting the medication again, since there are still ongoing struggles, how does she respond?
Well, her response is like with a afraidness, with kind of like mad at God, like saying, how come I've been going through all this? And I haven't been healed. I haven't been healed yet. One thing that I haven't mentioned to you is that her childhood, there was a lot of emotional abuse with her family, and almost rape abuse by her pops almost, you know. So it's you know, she's been having some trauma back in the days, and then you know, we've been together almost 18 years, so you know. It was hard at the beginning, but our relationship has gone better, way better since before. And
well, we're so glad. Yeah. We're so glad that you called, Ruben. It's great that you care and want to support her. I will defer to the two of you. I have thoughts, of course, that I would like to share, but I'll let either one of you go first.
Well, Ruben, I'm very impressed with your comprehensive view of your wife and your love for her and your devotion and what you're trying to do, that you want to get her help, and yet you're able to see the diverse things that have occurred in her life and the difficulties. I'm sad, but I see it a lot, that people are subjected to deliverance and healing ministries, and then they're told that they're healed or delivered, but the symptoms remain, or somehow they're left with this impression that I have to have faith otherwise, and that I'm somehow in charge of maintaining this healing or deliverance. And I always ask people, then what? What would happen? Would I then be less angry? Would I know how to have a conversation? Would I be more in touch with my emotions? Would I be less reactive? What happens when these things occur? So one of the things I recommend is that you find a church that's well-grounded, but also in what I would also be aware of, spiritual opposition that is very valid, that we do have an enemy. And if she has abuse in her background, I really think that finding someone that really has a balanced view of spiritual opposition as opposed to a view as you've already voiced to us will be helpful. Secondly, she will be mad at God, because if you're in an atmosphere or a church where you have two choices, to be under bondage or delivered, why wouldn't a person want to be quote-unquote delivered? Yet our life is filled with a mixture of joy and pain, always. And so there's never a complete freedom from the challenges and difficulties of life. And so finding a church that's balanced in that respect is going to be very important. And then to Dr. Benton's viewpoint of she really does need to get back on her medication and not be in a church that's telling her, no, she doesn't. And that's just very important find and make sure you're not in a place that's competing with the best voices that you're listening to.
Thank you. I just want to say that in this time of pandemic, yes, it's hard to continue with your treatment protocols because you can't go in person. But, Ruben, it'll be important for you guys to stay connected to the established counselor that you've already begun your work with, even if it's through teletherapy, as you go through these things that Mylon is talking about. But we're going to we'll pray for you guys, and we're going to, you know, we just know that there are so many complexities that you can't handle this on your own, but we're there for you, and we can have a counselor in the area if you don't want to continue with the one that you have. But, Alice, did you want to?
We have some good counselors in the San Jose area, the Bay Area. Additionally, maybe sending him the book, Get Your Life Back, could be important.
Take Your Life Back would be a great one. Yeah, let's do that.
Alice, what were you going to say?
Well, I would advise Ruben that you would both acknowledge her fear and give her permission to talk about her anger with God and be disappointed with her that she's not experiencing healing in the way she hoped God would deliver it. Mm-hmm. But then continue to be gently insistent, firmly insistent, that your family needs her to continue to get the care that was working before, and that sometimes that's part of God's cure. It's right. Other people, it's medication, and that can bring us to the point of stability. So don't give up on asking for that from her and acknowledging that the family needs her to get this help.
That's right. That's right. Thanks so much for both of your wisdom. It's great. And there's somebody else in the studio who keeps asking and doesn't give up. And I think it's Larry Sonnenberg.
I haven't got mad at God yet. But Well, thank you. You know, I got a note a while back that said I was sitting here paying my bills, listening to New Life. I was going to skip giving to New Life this month. But then Larry was reading a letter, so here I am, be blessed as you bless others. Hmm. And then the note that came to mind that I want to read today was this. Hi, Mr. S. We share a similar job. It's essential but often not completely appreciated. I'm a nurse and frequently need to have candid conversations that are not always welcomed but are nonetheless vital. I believe that without the work of you and your side colleagues, I'd be seeing more suicide attempts, more child abuse cases, more battered wives, more psychiatric admissions. You guys are the Navy SEALs of nursing. So she gave a donation of $490 because you all give 70 times 7 in grace.
Wow.
And that's what the world needs more of.
Wow.
Thanks for your courageous voice. So I just want to, you know, two things. If you've been thinking about skipping New Life this month, maybe make a gift. And I don't know what biblical number you want to base it on, but anything would be great. And I also want to encourage you to sign up for Club New Life. We really need Club New Life signups. It keeps us going. We have a new thank you gift. Won't go into all that detail right now, but call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. You can give. You can find out about New Life. And finally, I just want to say happy birthday to my wife today. This is her birthday, and she's going to hate me for doing this and telling everybody that it's Rhonda's birthday today.
Happy birthday, so, Rhonda.
We yeah, happy you, birthday. Rhonda. I love you, too. Hmm.
There'll be cake somewhere, I'm sure. And I'll be there if there's cake. No. I can't say thank you enough to all that Rhonda does, and so we do celebrate her in a big way today. And we appreciate you, Club New Lifers, that I know she interacts with on a regular basis, and I know she's grateful for them as well. We're going to come back after the break and answer a question or two, so hold on. But we just can't thank our Club New Life family enough, can we?
Amen.
And we are grateful.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad that you've been with us today. We've had some really great calls, and I know that we've helped so many people. You know, one of the things that we also do is we do workshops. And since we're in this pandemic, we have moved to online, and we have Every Man's Battle coming up on September 12th that you can call in, and maybe, men, you can make the decision to change your life, to change your legacy, and just a simple phone call to 1-800-NEW-LIFE could begin it all. We have scholarships available, even though it's just the one day. It's never been easier to get there, and so because it's in your own house. So give us a call for Every Man's Battle, and if you're married to a man who's struggling with his sexual integrity, that's also the phone number for you to call, because a lot of times the wife's bold move to make a difference in her family can change everything. And we've helped so many people find that freedom. And so give us a call today. But right now we're going to go to our final caller. We're so appreciative, Eric, for you to hang on. You're calling from Newark, New Jersey, and listen on Sirius XM. We are ready for your question. How can we help you today, Eric?
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Well, I got two questions. I'm so sorry. I'm calling you out in the middle of work, so I'm going to make it quick.
Oh, what happened to Eric? Okay. We lost the call, but you know what? We are always ready for the next call, and so we're going to go to May, who's calling us from Marin, California. Hi, May. You're listening to on KFAX, and we appreciate your call, and how can we help you today?
Oh, how you doing? I'm okay.
Doing well.
I have a problem. I had a best friend. I have a best friend I've been knowing for 40 years.
Wow.
We've always had some issues about her and communication. Well, I sent her something, and she called me up, and she told me, I said, well, I haven't heard from you in a while. Why don't you call? Because I call her, like, every week. So she said, well, I'm going to tell you, I dreaded calling you this time. And I said, why? Did you just call me because I sent you a gift? She said, yes. And the reason why she dreaded calling me, because I was asking her why she never picked up the phone and check on me. Well, when she said the word dreaded, that was like she cut me with a knife. Mind you, this is my only best friend. I don't have a lot of friends, just now. And now I'm struggling with, I haven't talked to her for several months, of how to get past this. I'm still hurt by that word, dread, because I think that's a horrible word to tell anybody. So I wrote a letter. I haven't sent it to her yet, but I don't know if I could move forward. I can forgive, but how do I move forward with somebody that said something to me that was so terrible to tell somebody?
And May, I want to see if I understand, because it's not just that she said she dreaded the call, but also you were asking why she doesn't initiate communication with you. You're the one that always initiates the call. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that's hurtful to you that she doesn't reach out to you also.
Yes,
of course.
For 40 years. Is that what you're saying too, May? Like,
no,
it's always
no,
been this way?
The last two years, I started noticing we always did things together. Then all of a sudden, she'll call me up. I'm trying to do this. I'll support her. But when I call and come up with something, I don't want to do it. I don't feel like being bothered with that. And I was like, what is going on with her?
So something has changed in the relationship, and you don't know how to address it, and you haven't talked to her for how many months now?
Probably about 4.
Okay.
And May, why do you hesitate to send the letter you wrote to her?
Uh, maybe because to me it's almost like a loss. My mother was a loss to me because of some things she done. And I need to respect my mother now. I go see my mother now, but it's not my mother anymore. Mm-hmm. And to me, letting her go, because I've always seen her as my sister, and now I have to see her as my best friend or a friend. It's like I've lost something.
Well, sure. Yeah, it is a loss.
You know, May, it doesn't have to be a loss. You're painting it in a very extreme, dark picture.
Okay.
It could be a simple adjustment to the relationship that could improve it. When stress occurs in a relationship, it's a signal that something needs to happen to clear it up. So I would take a very different tack. I don't know what you said in your letter, but I would call her up and just say, I really would like to know what was dreadful about calling me. I'd use the very word that hurt you the most and magnify it in a positive sense to say, you know, that's a very strong word, my friend. Tell me why it's dreadful to call me. I really want to understand. Perhaps there is something about me that's hard or difficult, or I would just like to know more about the word dread. Tell me more about it. And in so doing, you have a chance, May, to really clarify. Maybe your friend got hurt. Maybe there's something that's, you said something wise a minute ago. I wonder what her issues are. And I wonder what's going on in her life that is causing her to react the way she is. But I would use this word and just say, you know, it was hurtful, but it means something. Tell me more about it.
Mm. And okay. May consider if your anger has been building towards her for the past 2 years because she has not been the give and take kind of friend that she used to be to you, and that perhaps your anger and the grief of it has been leaking out towards her, and so it got harder for her to talk with you. You might also...
That's a possibility.
You're so humble. I heard you say okay as well to something difficult Mylan said, and I knew May's the kind of gal that can take a tough look at herself, and she can accept that she is also imperfect like the rest of us. And your willingness to bring that to your friend, to say, maybe I've been hard on you, maybe I've been angry, has that been coming out at you? In addition to Mylan's question, it might really reveal some things about the friendship that can bring it towards healing and a state of greater connection perhaps than you had before, or acceptance that if you want this friendship, you're going to be the initiator, that your friend may not be able or willing to do that anymore.
A long-term relationship requires those, what do you say all the time, Mylan? Ruptures and repairs. And so you've got this rupture, and it's continuing to rupture because it's not getting repaired. There's no resolution there. But did you have anything else, May, that you wanted to offer?
No, I guess you're right. I'm going to try my best to dial the number.
May, you're the kind of friend I want to have. You're a solid gal. You're the kind of friend I want to have, May.
Well, as you make that, listen, so just for your own benefit, when you decide to call, be prepared that she may not have the same thought process that you do. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the healing, the process of healing that relationship. And the other part might be that she's moved on, which, you know, that could be painful as well. She may not have been thinking about this as much as you have been. But you know what? I think it's worth your own process to call and begin the option to repair. And that, you know, maybe something good can come out of it. I think forgiveness is a good thing, even if it's not reciprocated. We're going to send you a copy of Forgiving What You'll Never Forget. We appreciate all of you calling today and the answers that Mylan and Alice have provided. It's great to be with you all today. Give us a call sometime if you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We are there for you. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.